This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor. To New South Wales, to Sydney, Jeremy Zakas to report on the climate, anticipating El Nino, the reptile life, and today's story is a whopper, and then the Ashes series being played in England. You will recall when Jeremy and I last spoke, Australia was up 2-0. There are 5 tests, up 2-0, and the English team had been disappointed because they were playing baseball, the hurry-up game, and the Australia team was playing traditional cricket. Wait for your chance, field the ball, don't rush. And Australia was doing extremely well. The third test, well, we'll discuss it when Jeremy and I turn to the test in England. It's a fair contest. Both teams are well in hand, and it's exciting to learn cricket through a contest at this level. Jeremy, a very good day to you. El Nino. For weeks now, we've discussed how El Nino is promised, warned, it's coming your way. The definition of El Nino is that every few years, there hasn't been an El Nino to the official counting since in 7 years. Every few years, the Pacific temperatures, the surface of the Pacific, warms, and that changes the oscillation. Everything changes. We just had 3 La Niñas, which is tends to be the opposite. That was responsible for those enormous drenching rains that came in 22, I believe. And then the third one in a row, flooding in Victoria, flooding in Queensland, flooding in Sydney. Very, very difficult to live through. And now El Nino is expected, but it's wintertime for you. What does El Nino look like? What does it promise now for winter? Good evening to you, Jeremy.
G'day, John. Yes, well, we're in winter right now, and we're expecting to have what is basically unanimously decided upon to be a warmer winter. And this is the scientists who are looking at the meteorology, looking at the facts, the figures of El Nino, looking at the models, looking at what the computers are saying we're expecting to get for winter here in Australia, which is all warmer than normal, drier than normal, and then it's going to lead on to a very heavy, hot summer. However, the reality is, John, we're actually getting something a little bit different to that. What we're getting is we're certainly getting the drier winter right now after a deluge pretty much 2 weeks ago that led us to think we might be getting torrential rains instead of the dry. But we're also getting warm daytime temperatures mixing in with some very unusually cold nighttime and morning temperatures. Like, for example, John, yesterday we had around about 20 degrees Celsius here in Sydney during the daytime, which is actually very, very nice. It's around 70 Fahrenheit, so you can imagine how beautiful that was to have a 20-degree day, especially in winter. But today, as I speak to you, we're back down to single digits. We're around about 7 or 8 degrees, which is phenomenally cold for what we're expecting. So we're talking around about 45 Fahrenheit, and it is absolutely freezing. And this isn't supposed to be what El Nino is here in Australia. We're supposed to be getting the warm temperatures. So, John, while we're in an El Nino, while we're expecting, you know, to have a traditional El Nino at some point, it kind of hasn't started that way. We're just getting this very, very strange fluctuation in weather day to day.
Are you seeing snow, at least in the elevations?
We are. In fact, the snow season, which we feared just 3 weeks ago wasn't going to come because of the warmer weather, has actually hit us in abundance. In fact, it's quite heavy heavy snowfall as we speak now down to the south. And to the south in basically the northern part of Victoria, we have a lot of snowfields, Perisher, Threadbare. They're fairly well known around the world. And the biggest fear this year was that El Nino would destroy the tourist season and create an environment where there wouldn't be snow. However, in the last few days, it's been proven not to. In fact, the fact that we have these weird weather fluctuations now, that the dryness mixed in with a little bit of moisture and then the really cold air has created fairly large snowfall. So I can say, John, people are now starting to head south in droves, basically, to get to the snow. But I guess we can't really tell what's going to happen next. So hopefully the snow stays around. But honestly, John, we certainly have seen it.
The food from Australia is first rate, and there's high demand for the food from Australia. The growers in Queensland is now where we're going to look for what. How do you prepare for El Nino? Remember, the traditional El Nino is extremely hot and dry, extremely hot and dry, after the rains. What that means is the undergrowth grows very quickly, and then it's a tinderbox. So the ignition usually is a lightning strike, and that leads to the wildfires, which are damaging to the whole ecology and to the whole region. We know from 2019, a particularly bad wildfire season, that it changed the nature of the Pacific itself because of the cloud that emerged from Australia. Right now, we're focusing on how do farmers get ready? And Jeremy, I read the article you sent on to me. The answer is they can't get ready. They can just anticipate what they're going to need in terms of moisture. They're going to need to water their plants. They've had 3 years of heavy rain, which was good, and now they're going to have, I'm presuming, not drought, but a very dry summer. Is that correct?
That's exactly right, John. And the reality is that you can't make rain where there isn't going to be rain. So the farmers, in essence, have to figure out a way to store all the moisture, store all the water that they've accumulated over the past 2 or 3 years right now for the next possibly 2 or 3 years, depending on how long El Niño lasts. And there's really no way to do that. So what the governments tend to do and what the farmers are starting to figure out now is whether or not they can draw from other water sources, whether it's aquifers, whether it's changing the rivers' flows and basically using the dam waters that they have from the national river system to actually water the crops. Because here's something that's not necessarily uniquely Australian, but very important to the Queensland farmers and very big part of Australia, is that we have a lot of water allocation laws and water allocation billets, I guess you could say, for the farmers. So the farmers can basically bid on the amount of water they'll need from the government for any given season. And the government then divides it amongst the farmers to keep it fair, to keep them going. But the problem with that is that when we hit a system where it's going to be like El Niño, where there's going to be very, very dry temperatures, the government then has to basically provide enough water out of the national system for the farmers without drying out our national ecology. So I guess the hidden danger here, John, is in the preparation for the farmers, where the government will probably allow them to access the government, the national rivers and the national waterways to keep their farms going. The government's going to have to balance the fact that they may kill off some ecosystems as well. So we've spoken before about the wildfires killing off the koalas, the wildfires basically devastating our national habitats. This preparation for El Niño and the slower burn issues, such as just using water where water is normally in abundance for the creatures, that could also cause another long-term problem as well. So as you can see, El Niño is not one of these things where, you know, it's just going to cause the wildfires, it's just going to devastate the crops because there's no water. It can have other long-term effects. And this is something we've learned over many years in Australia. There's nothing to stop it. So the farmers are preparing, John, that they're doing their best, but I guess we're all preparing in some ways that it's going to be a different world after this El Niño.
When we were growing up, it was just called the weather. Now we call it climate and we go global. I mentioned that there's a huge, huge heat dome over the southern part of the United States. Triple digits in Fahrenheit, easy. 45 centigrade, easy. There's also a heat dome over Spain. It was over Germany. It's moving towards Italy. I reported from Italy yesterday. So we don't know if it's El Niño or just drier air, or whether we're just keen on reporting the weather as if it's climate. Climate is not weather. They're different things. And the El Niño is climate, clearly. So we're going to keep an eye on this in the coming weeks, because if it is El Niño and a very hot, dry El Niño, the farmers, one way they can adjust is plant different crops, different varieties of crops, crops that don't depend on a great deal of water, which they've had the last 3 years. Jeremy Zakas, he's in New South Wales. We're turning to Reptile Watch. This isn't really scary, unless, of course, you just put down the category that all snakes are scary, which I've learned from Jeremy. It's a fair assumption if you go to Australia. All snakes are scary in Australia. They tend to be in the roof, on the doormat, in the closet, under the pillow, and some of them are venomous. But I believe tonight we don't have a venomous snake. We just have a surprise. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.